I know I say this pretty much every week, but I really had a great time worshiping. Thank you so much, worship team. And really enjoyed that. And the Spirit of God was here. I know He is. He's ministering to us. Just want to encourage all of you, if you haven't already, I think you guys have, to be in prayer often and a lot during these days. You know, in our church, you can read in our prayer sheets, we do have a number of folks that are really in need of prayer. They're in the hospital. They're fighting through really difficult, some cancer, some other things. I want to encourage you to pray and lift them up to the Lord and believe that God can and He will grant healing. He does that. He answers prayer. So please do that. And the second thing, of course, is what's happening in our nation. Just so broken and hurt by what happened again in Midland and Odessa. Things that we can't really even understand, but pray for the families there. I know we don't know them. I don't think anybody has maybe have a relative or anybody there, but just keep them in prayer that God will do some awesome things and bring healing to those families who some lost their loved ones, others are going through a tough time because of just the injuries that are there. And of course, saw this morning that the hurricane turned a little, and I was happy for that, but still, it seems like a devastating blow that would hit Florida and the coastal Georgia and Carolinas. We have lots of friends that live there. We see people writing about it. One person was so happy it turned because their family lived in St. Petersburg, which would not be hit like that. It's kind of like that. So keep them in prayer. Not exactly sure how to pray, but that, you know, pray that God will be there in their lives and that they will just trust Him for that. And as God's people, we can pray for brothers and sisters in the Lord and just for the people, the millions and millions of people that are there. Would you join me in prayer before we go into the Word of God? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You, and we know that You are God who answers prayer. And Lord, but a thought from You, everything changes. We know that. Father, we come before You, and we want to lift up our brothers and sisters that are in physical ailment in our church and family. Father, we want to lift them up. And as we bring them one by one during this day and this week, Lord, would You answer in a wonderful way by Your mercy and grace, Lord, to grant healing to them, each and every one. And Father, we do want to pray for those families that have been so impacted in the communities in Midland and also in Odessa. Father, would You bring Your peace in there? Father, also as well, that You do a great thing in the midst of tragedies. We pray that miracles will happen. People will give their lives to You. People will turn to You because of the situation. And certainly, Lord, we want to pray for the millions of families and people that are on the coastal eastern shore. We pray, Lord, that You will protect them. You will be there for them. Lord God, would You bring Your people together in prayer? And Lord, use Your people and Your church in that area to make a difference in the lives of people. The people will be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God in the midst of a tragedy. Father, we lift them up to You, and we thank You for Your answer prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we finish Romans 14, chapter 14, essentially we've been talking about how to minister to each other in our fellowship. How do we deal with relationship in the church? We're not talking about now at this point the gospel. The gospel brought people from sin and God's wrath into His kingdom. We're not talking about morality. We're not talking about what is sin and so forth. That is not what Paul is doing. What Paul is doing is this. He's writing, and by God's grace and the Spirit of God, speaking to the church, speaking to relationships that are so important, that as we gather together, people from all over the place, which most churches are, people from, even if it's the same ethnicity, they're from different backgrounds, and you throw them all together, you know what? Usually there's a lot of issues in situations like that. And in a church, it ought to be different. We need to get along. We need to be able to treat each other way better than how the world treats each other. And so, talks about that, and today we want to focus on one really short verse, and I'm going to get to that in a moment. But essentially, it's like this. Some of you are saying, how are we supposed to do it? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to relate to each other? It's talking about food. It's talking about wine. It's talking about this. No, it's not just talking about that. It is talking about things that we clash with each other. They're not the gospel. They're not morality. It is things that we're used to from backgrounds that we come from. I know that sometimes, you know, as we minister, we have to really adjust to these things. And sometimes it's hard. Just because you're a pastor doesn't mean that you can eat everything, right? Just because you're a pastor doesn't mean that you have all the sensitivities in the world to every culture there is. And sometimes it's kind of hard. But we try. And this helps us to guide us in that way. Well, I remember some of the situations, this is just an intro to this, some of the situations that we have encountered before. I remember that I was invited. We visit people all the time, and a lot of times we go to fellowships and homes and so forth. I was invited to a Filipino fellowship. We had a lot of Filipinos in our church up in New York. And Filipinos have some of the best food in the world. Probably not good for you. You know, I go to a Filipino restaurant with somebody here every once in a while. We say we can't go here too often because we'll die. Because the cholesterol and everything there. But the lechons and all these fatty stuff. Oh, my goodness, they're so good. So I was in this fellowship and lots of people there. And they came, hey, Pastor, have this. Okay, fine, no problem with that. Are you kidding? The purple yam cake, oh, they're just so good. Then they gave me something that I've never had before. Although my sons really like them. They gave me a balut. Now, if you don't know what a balut is, it's an embryo in an egg. You know, when you eat eggs, it's just an egg, you know, there's no embryo there. But a balut is an embryo. There's live chicken or duck, whatever it is in there, and just about a week before it hatches or something, they sell it to you and you cook it. And so they began to teach me how to eat it. He said, you know, you crack it up and you drink the juice first. That in itself just grossed me out. But he peeled it, began to peel it, and then I see this head with the eyes and the beak and the claws and the feathers there. I said, it's delicious, Pastor. Okay. I have to tell you, I did eat that, but I almost lost everything that was in my stomach otherwise. But it had to be done because I did not want to offend a whole group of people there looking at me and see whether the pastor think our food is good or not. Now, I've never eaten another balut in my life and do not want to, so if you invite me, you know, try not to give me balut. But you know what? That's what you do. This is the point here. This is exactly what it is. It is about what you do. And it's not just about eating. I already shared with you why I don't drink alcohol. It isn't that it's bad. If you are drinking alcohol and you're not getting drunk, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. There's no way it's wrong with that. Wine is here. Jesus turned water into wine. Okay, you got to know that. But the consequences can be dire. And I know that as a Christian leader, whatever capacity, as a teacher in a seminary, as a pastor, if I drank alcohol, I know that the possibility of someone else, saying, oh, it's okay, Pastor Dan did it, I'll drink it too. And that person may come from an alcoholic background, and I may destroy his testimony. I still remember one of the most sneaking around event that I ever did in my life was when Barbara was pregnant with our first son, and the doctor said, you need to have a little bit of wine. And we were in seminary. And I don't even know how to buy wine. So we found a liquor store. And I'm like sneaking around, making sure no one saw me, you know. I'm going in there. I'm like, okay, give me the one that's the cheapest, okay? Whatever it was. Because she needed a little wine. So yeah, it was like one of those kind of things. But I want you to understand, the whole point about this passage is, it's not about itself, what it is. It is about making sure that you love on someone else. It isn't about you. It is about the other person, that you and I do not cause someone to stumble because it's something we eat, something we drink, something we do, something we wear. When we go to Ukraine, you know, a long time ago, Barbara would have to not put any makeup on, no jewelry, going to these Baptist churches, and she would have to sit on one side, I would have to sit on the other side, and for a little while, she would have to even put a cloth on her hair because that is what you have to do. This is about Christian freedom or the lack of it. Some people just have a tough time discovering and understanding that God has given us freedom. Certain food doesn't make us bad. Certain dress doesn't make us wrong. But they haven't gotten that yet. And so we as God's people need to come together and say, you know what? For their sake and for their testimony and for their conscience, we're going to do that. Paul goes to the point where he talks about how if that is going to cause someone to stumble, I will never eat meat again. Can you imagine? That's really rough. I'm glad it isn't like that in this church. But maybe some places like that where you can't eat certain things. If you are going to go to a Muslim or the Middle Eastern countries and you do ministry there, I want to tell you, you cannot be eating pork. That's just something you can't do, even though you think it's the best food in the world. You don't do that because of the testimony that you and I we give to others. That's essentially what this is about, freedom. But I love this verse here where it goes to something that's really good. It says in verse 15, okay, do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. Okay, so it's really important. Do not by, not just our eating, some things that we do that have nothing to do with morality, nothing to do with the gospel, right? Destroy someone for whom Christ died. We can destroy people in those ways. Verse 16, therefore do not let what you know is good to be spoken of as evil. Can you believe that? I mean, something that you think is good and someone said, that's just evil. Pastor Dan did something evil, right? You don't want that to happen. Verse 17, there it is. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, or name a thousand other things, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is what I want to focus on today. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something, all right? Oftentimes in the church, or even in our own lives, we're not thinking about the kingdom of God. Do you know what the kingdom of God is? There is the kingdom of this world. There's all kinds of different kingdoms. There is Satan's kingdom, this world. Then there's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is separate, different. And Jesus, when he was on earth, talks about the kingdom of God all the time. All the parables he speaks about it. He's talking about the kingdom of God. It is God's kingdom. It is something that's not worldly. It is not ungodly. It is the kingdom of God, something that is supernatural. Sometimes we in the church, we forget that. We think our church is our church. Our church is our community center. It is what we are. No, there's something more than that. The church is part of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is far beyond the stuff that we are so concerned about in life. So we have to elevate a different way in which we can understand what the kingdom of God is. But here Paul is saying, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. These things that we're so concerned about, the color of the carpet, the style of this, the way you dress, the songs that we sing, the food that we eat, that is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is far more than that. And we need to always be able to have eyes that can see the kingdom of God to be able to say, this is God's kingdom. What is it that's so important about this? This is not important when compared to what God is interested in. So this is really important. We'll get onto that in a moment. And the second thing are these kind of the three categories that we want to talk about today. But at the end of it, it says righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You say, wait a minute, why does he throw that in there? In the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, we as a church cannot operate unless the Holy Spirit is operating in us. We can't. We just do a human thing otherwise. Church becomes a human organization. It is just a human thing. Unless the Spirit of God is here right now in the lives of individuals sitting right here, and his presence is here, and he's doing something awesome. If you go to the book of Acts, you'll find that the Holy Spirit was amazingly active there in the church. You remember when Ananias and Sapphira came in? And remember, they presented a gift to the church. It was 50%, half of what they sold the land for. That's amazing. If you have a piece of property, you have a piece of something, and you gave half of it to the church, that's amazing. That's 50% of this valuable asset you have. As they gave it, the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter and told him, and you know what? We're going to talk about some of these things in our Sunday school class when we talk about gifts of the Holy Spirit. And told him basically, this is not all of it. But Ananias and Sapphira, they said it was. At first Ananias and later Sapphira. They said it was. It was all of it. They said, we sold the land. This is for the church. And they lied. They not only lied to the church, they lied to the Holy Spirit. And so, see, the emphasis here is the person of the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit of God is not there, no one would know, no one would care. But the consequences of what happened there, well, we sure hope that doesn't happen all the time, because if it did, boy, oh boy, not many people would be around. They were instantly killed right there. The Holy Spirit. So the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God has to be operating amongst us. If we are going to make an impact in our families' lives, if we are going to impact this world as it is changing in ways that are, wow, powerful and mighty against the Word of God, we are going to have to operate with the Spirit of God empowering us, enabling us. And so we have to do that. Now, I want to go through these three things: the kingdom of God and church relationship. First of all, righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? The kingdom of God is righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that righteousness can only come from God. And the righteousness we're talking about, not only that here, but initially, is that Jesus' righteousness is given to us, right? You know that. No matter what you do, no matter what your parents do, no matter what your culture is talking about, no matter what religion it is, there's never enough righteousness to get us to heaven. There has to be Jesus Christ, his righteousness put upon us, and our names are put in the book of life. But beyond that, as we continue the sanctification part of the righteousness, we now have to live righteously before God. And you know, the kingdom of God is about righteousness in the Holy Spirit. But you know what? Our world doesn't want that. Our world is not interested in that. Our world is not interested in what's holy, what's righteous according to God. They have something else. Barbara read something this morning, and it related to a candidate for president who wrote about how tragic, how terrible it was that a 17-month-old was shot yesterday, I think in Midland. And that's horrible. I just can't imagine that. I mean, we just went to see our fifth grandchild, and this little thing here, I can't imagine a bullet hitting him in the shoulders or something like that. That would just crush us. Can't imagine that. And somebody in our church, and I'm very proud you did that, wrote back and said, you know what? If this child, it was 17 months earlier, you wouldn't care at all about it. True, because this person was completely pro-abortion. And so righteousness becomes what the world says it is. Before a baby is born, perhaps even right after, it's okay to kill the baby. In fact, every single day in our country today, there will be almost 3,000 babies that will be executed. That's what we are. That's the righteousness of the world. All right, many, many people, millions of people in this country believe that's okay. So I'm thinking, oh man, you know, as a pastor and as a Christian, we have to be so careful to not step in it, because you know why? Anything we say about righteousness, there are people that will just collapse us. They're like, you say something and they've just bombed you. So what do? I was praying about that this morning. And the Lord reminded me, you know what we do? We stand on the Word of God. That's what we do. We have to be faithful to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about anything like that? The Word of God is very clear about protecting our children. The Word of God is very clear about murder. The Word of God is very clear about those things. So we stand on it. Now, there are other things, and I'm not going to get into all these things, because today there's a different kind of morality. There's a different kind of righteousness. And the world is dead. The Word of God doesn't matter anymore. It's what the Word of God translated, interpreted by me means. Barbara and I, as we were going to Longview, those of you that have gone there, you know it's a long drive. It's about 4 hours. But we praise God, it's not Sacramento. That will be 4 days of driving. But when we're driving, one of the things that we want to do is love to hear podcasts. It's good. It's really good these days. You know, these social media stuff and the technology. It's good. You can spend the time listening to something really, really worthwhile. And we heard a bunch of messages. Some messages that really disturbed us. Others that really encouraged us. I want to tell you this. Pastors today and preachers today are having a tough time sticking to the Word of God. It's really easy to begin to just bend a little bit, you know. You twist it a little bit. I'm not going to mention who it is. You can find out yourself. There's all kinds of people that you and I know, people, pastors and preachers that you and I respect highly, that are starting to bend it and going here and there. Why? Because our world is that way now. So righteousness is not about in the Holy Spirit at all. Righteousness is in the social media. Righteousness is what the world says it is. Truth is not truth in the Word of God. Truth is my truth. How do I interpret it? It doesn't even matter. The fight for liberalism or conservatism, that's gone. It is now truth. What is truth? Can you find it in the Word of God? And if you have it, even if you believe it is the Word of God, who is interpreting that truth? It can't be you. It can't be. It has to be somebody else. That's tough. That's really, really tough. One of our candidates earlier, some of you might have heard that, and maybe you support that. I'm not sure. I hope not. When asked, it was a big deal, right? How many genders are there? And he responded, at least three. Really, at least three. And the world's fine with it. The world's fine. At least three genders. Oh, I'm reading in the scripture in Genesis, you know, God created male and female. I see two. But it doesn't matter because, you see, who is interpreting them? Who is interpreting them? So righteousness in the Holy Spirit is powerful. Is it the Spirit of God that's interpreting righteousness in our lives, in our churches, in our society, or is it someone else? The kingdom of God is about righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Don't mix that up. The kingdom of God is not righteousness as you design it, as you interpret it, as the world says it is. No, no, no. It has to be this. The second thing, peace in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is about peace in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? And interesting, there's a verse, the verse here, it says at the end, in verse 18, it says, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Essentially, it's like this. Anyone who serves Christ in this way, understanding the kingdom of God, pleases God. And even men out there, people out there, are saying, man, that's pretty cool. You know what they're talking about? It is this concept of peace, because peace usually is conformity in our world. Everybody has to be the same. You want to have peace? You give in to me, or you get out of here. That's how it goes. This is what peace is about. You know, when you're in a war situation, one has to beat the other one up. You win, the other one surrenders. Now there's peace. That's how we understand peace oftentimes. But in the Church of Jesus Christ, we have people everywhere. I mentioned to you, if you don't know, go to the book of Acts chapter 13. And you'll find that one of the really phenomenal churches that is described in the Bible is the church in Antioch. And in the church in Antioch, if you find who they are, you discover they were made up of people from all over the place. They literally had Jewish people, European people, rich people, poor people. They even had black Africans. Now, back in the days of slavery, many kind of slaves, anybody that is secondary to someone else, to the Roman Empire, are considered less, right? Black Africans were there. North Africans were there. It was a church that was made up of so many different kinds of people. And with different kinds of people, I'll tell you what, people are eating different food. People are thinking different ways. They dress different ways. They like different songs. They like different ways. But nevertheless, it was a church that got together. And one of the ways that the historians would tell us about ancient cities was this. The cities always had wars. You had to. Now we don't need wars because we have airplanes to defend us. We have missiles. You know, you don't need those wars to protect your cities. But back in those days, there were always wars. And if you went to Jerusalem, you will find a war. If you went to Antioch, there will be a war because at night, the marauders may come and come and ravage your city if you don't have that. They close the gate at night. Well, you know what? They had different kind of wars, too. Not only did they have the outside war that would encompass the whole city, they were inside war. They were interior wars. And this will be this section. This will be that section. These are the poor people. These are the Africans. These are the Asians. These are the Europeans. And on, there will be wars there. You say, well, we don't have that now because we're not racist. Really? We got lots of wars. Wars that are just invisible, that's all. But people sense it all the time. They know exactly what's happening there. And sometimes those wars are in churches too. Because why? We don't want that group of people. We're not interested in them. These aren't the people that we want to associate with. We do those kinds of things. We do that. But you know what? Not the church. The church doesn't do that. It says make every effort to do what leads to peace. That phrase in the Greek, make every effort. It's not just making an effort. Oh, I tried. No. It is pursuit. A pursuit of it. I mean, you're going to do everything possible. We're going after it again and again and again. I'm going to get that so that we can make our church a peaceful church into mutual edification. You know, when people see that, they look at the church in Antioch, hopefully they see CBC and they say, you know what? Man, they're good people. I don't know all about it, but they're good people. They just love each other. They do things that we wouldn't. I wouldn't put up with that. They do. You know, send people there, you know. Send people there that we don't want because they'll take them. Peace and the Holy Spirit. And who does it? Yeah, the Holy Spirit again. Remember, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. He gives us the capacity to bring about peace. He gives us the capacity to say, okay, I'm not going to take that as an offense. I'm just going to absorb that. I won't respond to it because I want peace. He gives us the power. He gives us the abilities to do so. He gives us this discernment and this self-control. All those things, well, you know what? Without the Holy Spirit, that's not happening. Without the Holy Spirit, we're just going to respond. They hurt me, I hurt them back. They said something to me, I'm going to bring it to them. You know, that's pretty much what the world does. But this is not the world, this is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And then it goes on. The kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? I don't know if you remember, this is a verse that's really important to me. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. You can go back. And it talks about being joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. These are the three things that I believe are so important for a Christian's life. To have hope, all right? To be patient in affliction, and to be always prayerful. To have hope, you need to have joy, you need to have hope. I think it's really important for us to understand that, you know what, no matter what's going on, we look forward and say, you know what, there's some great hope there. You look at a family, and the family is struggling. You know what? They just don't understand the freedom in the Lord. But if they're young Christians, you say, you know what? Don't worry. They'll grow. They'll grow. I'm going to help them grow. I'm going to do whatever I can to help them grow. And they are going to grow out of this. And one day, they're going to understand the freedom they have in the Spirit of God. And if something's happening here, you know, some situation, there's some conflicts going on. You know what? I can be joyful. Why? Because I have hope. I know that conflict is going to end because God is not going to let it continue. I believe that the Holy Spirit will solve it because this is one church, this is one faith, this is one Spirit. Of course it's going to end. So I have joy because there's hope. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, you know what? Have joy in the Holy Spirit. You trust in the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, this thing can just spin out of control and it can destroy people and ruin things and ruin the testimony of many, many people. I love it that it goes on and it says, you know what? Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. You say, wait a minute. I believe I have a freedom to do this. Can I be wrong? Really? Paul said, yeah, you can be wrong. Yeah, eating meat, there's nothing wrong with it. But if you ate meat and affected your brother in the Lord, you know what? There's something wrong with that. And you know what? There's something wrong with is sin. So it's important for us to understand that it isn't just what we think alone. It is how we impact others that matters. It may not be sin in and of itself, but because it's in the midst of something else, it is sin. And it goes on, and I asked the Lord to teach me this one. I couldn't really understand this too much, and then I got it. Verse 22. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Interesting. What does that mean? You know what? I was studying and praying about it and said, what does that mean, Lord? You know, I come before the Almighty God and I know that I have the freedom to eat meat. I know I have the freedom to drink wine. I know I have the freedom to wear this or wear that or sing this. It's not an issue. But the good thing about this is, you see, God has given us the freedom, but we don't have to exercise it. We just have it. Before God, we have it. We don't have to exercise it. We don't exercise it because we love that person. We don't exercise it because we don't want to harm that situation. So I have the freedom to not exercise my freedom, but I have it before God. Isn't that cool? Can we do that? Can we just love people so much that we can have the freedom to say, well, guess what? I'm not going to do it. I don't need to do it. I know I can do it, but I don't need to do it because I love you, because I love your family, because I want our church to experience peace. I'm not going to do it. Thank you, Lord, for giving that to us. I believe if we live that way, our church will be so peaceful. We'll impact people outside. Other people are going to say, you know, CPC is a different kind of church. We really want to experience that. Let's go there. Let's see how they are. And when we do that, you know what? The Almighty God is blessed. The Spirit of God is pleased. Would you pray with me as we go to communion? Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much that you have patience with us. I pray, Lord God, that you will give us and grant to us by the Holy Spirit the ability to love people beyond what they deserve. Oh, Lord God, help us, Lord, to know that it's all about you and it's all about your desire for others in our lives. I pray that you turn our church and cause our church to be a church in which people will see the love of Jesus Christ more than anything else, that they know that we're people of the kingdom, not of this world. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.